Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this Saturday night, the Vic Theater welcomes one of alternative rock's greatest singer-songwriters. Chicago, put your hands together for Tanya Donnelly and the band Belly. This little squirrel I used to be slammed her bike down the stairs. They put silver where her teeth had been, baby silver tooth. She grins and grins. Tanya Donnelly has been involved with so many influential rock bands, whether it's Throwing Muses, The Breeders, or Belly. Donnelly has been at the forefront of college rock and the alternative music explosion of the 90s. Tanya and her band Belly were mainstays on MTV, and even though they were really together for a short period of time, they put their mark on the music scene forever. The band is back together this summer slash fall for a tour that makes its way through Chicago this weekend, and Tanya Donnelly joins me tonight on The Download. Tanya, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, so first off, coming back through Chicago, I mean, with all the bands that I mentioned and your solo stuff as well, what are the great memories that come back about playing your music here in Chicago?
Chicago shows are always very enthusiastic and just sort of, it's always just really felt very good there. We've always, really genuinely always had great shows there. I mean, you all have such a strong music scene of your own, and I think, Boston being similar in terms of that fertile ground musically, I think those are just great cities to play.
What's behind reuniting the band, Belly? I mean, this is something that's been a couple years, as I mentioned. It was a short time. You guys were together for 4 or 5 years. But talk about getting the band back together for this tour.
Was it 4 or 5 years? Was it even that long? it was something that, we've sort of, as the years have gone on, in little sort of side conversations, it's come up, but no one was really on the same page simultaneously. And also, we're at a time in our lives where our kids are old enough, our jobs can be put on hold for short little amounts of time. So it just kind of, everything just sort of lined up this time, both personally and, in terms of the logistics of our lives. So it just, everything sort of came together, and we're so incredibly grateful that it did, because it's been really wonderful.
For you, I mean, to get back together after 20 years, essentially, to get back and play the music that you created together with this band, what's that feeling like? What's it like to pick up the guitar and sing some of the songs that you're famous for Belly?
It feels amazing. I mean, I still do some Belly songs at live shows solo, and I love doing them, but doing them with the three people that I wrote with and worked with, and those songs belong to all four of us, and so when we're playing them together, that energy really, a song is somewhat dependent on the people that are putting their energy into it, and it makes something very specific. And so the four of us doing it together is just really, it's been amazing, because just the muscle memory that comes back,
right,
and the feeling that comes back, the excitement. I love having those people on stage with me. I love looking to my left and seeing my girl Gail next to me. and having Tom's beautiful guitar and Chris's incredible playing. It just is, there's not one negative piece to it. It's been amazing, so.
You mentioned earlier just the idea of the Boston music scene being similar to what it is here in Chicago, but you're part of that scene that is really, when it comes to rock music, college rock specifically, is almost the epicenter of where it all started, with your band Throwing Muses, Pixies. We had the Blake Babies in here not too long ago talking about you guys as influences. But talk about the idea of, take us back to mid to late 80s in Boston, in the Boston area, when you and your stepsister, Kristen Hirsch, were putting together Throwing Muses and playing shows.
That's a time, there was so much going on here. I feel like the stuff that actually sort of broke out of the Boston and became more widely known is just the tip of the iceberg. There was just so much going on. Every night, the bills at every club were just, you were just sort of in this embarrassment of riches, you know, every show is good tonight, where are we going to go? And it was just an amazing time, and I don't even really know why that is, because it's not like there was a lot of, it was very fragmented musically, not socially. Socially, it was a pretty tight, it's always been very tight here, but everyone sort of sounded very different. So it's not like there was one big cohesive scene and everybody influencing each other musically. It was a lot of incredibly diverse, you know, playing going on. So I think it was just sort of this weird coincidental moment in time where a lot of people landed in the same place at the same time.
Well, you think about, you know, the indie rock music scenes of today, and you think about whether it be here in Chicago, Boston, New York, Seattle, where have you. You think back to that time in the mid to late 80s, and it's very similar in the way that there isn't really, there's a lot of indie rock labels. There's a lot of independent music being produced. It's not all just about getting on Epic Records. There was a lot happening around. Do you see that the similar spirit in what we see in music today than what was happening in Boston back in the mid 80s?
Yes, I think there are so many variables that go into that, so this is going to be one tiny piece of it. But I think what we had in common back then with what I see in Boston now with the young people is this sort of similar, not really reaching for a major label deal. You know what I mean? We never for a second thought we would ever be on a major label, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. There was never a second where Kristen and I felt like, yeah, let's get signed to Sire. You know, like that was never a dream or even a possibility, really, reasonably at the time. I mean, it is what ended up happening to a lot of us. But there's a similar thing here, except that now people have a little more, you know, we had the indie labels, and that was powerful in college radio. God was, you know, really the engine that drove the whole thing in terms of getting word out. And now it's the internet, which is a little more difficult, except it's also somewhat empowering. You know, young people, at least in my little community here, really feel empowered in a way that is exciting to see, you know.
Let's continue on that thread, you know, because you have made that transition as well. I mean, you doing your solo work and putting stuff out as a solo artist has been in the internet age, you know, even from the Swan stuff that you were just doing in the last couple of years. How have you evolved as a musician to be able to be open to the internet and the digital age of music?
It was, to be honest with you, just the facility of it appealed to me at the time because I, you know, I'm a doula as well. I have two children. I've got and all the multiple music projects that I'm involved in, just sort of streamlining them together and doing it online was just so, being able to do something, you know, to say, oh, I have a couple of hours to myself, I'm going to go put something up, is amazing. It's an amazing feeling. It's exciting to do it that way. Of course, I also needed my hard copies, which is why I went to American Laundromat and asked them to release it, because I'm still... Yeah, I need that tactile piece too, you know, of holding something in your hand and having artwork attached to it. That's really important to me as well. So
as you get back and start playing music from 1991, 1992 on the tour, is there a part of you that sees how you've matured, how you've evolved as a singer-songwriter, as a musician from going back into your catalog as opposed to the stuff you're doing now?
I think I'm much less self-questioning, you know. If I want to sing a jazz song, I do it. And if I want to do, you know, something sort of electronica with friends of mine that do that, then I do it. There's no part of me that sort of feels self-conscious about any of it anymore. And I don't put it in a framework the way that I used to, maybe. I think I'm a better singer now, and lyrically I'm more honed. So in that way I can see that there's some movement forward or in some direction anyway.
Well, I mean, you, the music you've been putting out recently, especially with the EPs, has been great. I'm unbelievable stuff. I was just listening to it today.
But I mean, I have some unbelievable co-writers and players too that I'm tapping quite liberally.
Well, I want to talk about the sort of comparison or contrast to your life, you know, at the time when we talk about 1991, 1992, with the release of Star and the MTV play, and you being sort of almost the rock star, the superstar that MTV 120 Minutes, everybody's putting up on a pedestal, as opposed to you as a musician today who can pick and choose your projects and be able to do things differently. Talk about the difference between those lifestyles and which one you prefer.
I think that I fell into, I'm going to be very hippy-dippy about this now, but I think I have happily experienced both at the right time for me, you know. I there's no question that I had a blast back in the, you know, in the high-profile run. That was very, very fun. And also sort of uncomfortable. It wasn't 100% a comfortable place for me, but that at the time I wasn't craving any kind of comfort in
right, which just because of the attention, life, because know? Of just the all the people around you. What was uncomfortable about
that? Just the attention. Yeah. It's just not, you know, it's something that I've never, you know, I couldn't ever fully trust that in a way. Right. And now I'm in a place where I'm happily not in that glare, but I still get to make music for a living with my friends. It's amazing, you know. And sorry.
No,
I feel fortunate.
It's amazing to me that you've had such a fruitful career to be able to go from some of the bands that were really just, and it's fun to read back and say these were sort of the Breeders was a side project, something that you just wanted to start. You know, it's amazing to think about your mark and what you've done for music, and to look back on that and be like, it's hard to believe, you know, a band of that ilk was a side project. But that's how it kind of came out.
Right. I know. Side project for me. Initially it wasn't. We had more. I was more committed to them long term in the beginning. But it just didn't, timing wise, didn't work out that way. So
for you, as you wrap up this tour with Belly, I mean, and being back into the spotlight with a lot of diehard Belly fans and people who want to hear this music again, does it at all with your musical projects tempt you to keep the band going, to try new music, to continue to work in that regard, to write new music with the band?
Yeah, we are writing new. We've been road testing a handful, practicing during sound checks for one thing, but also playing a couple live. We're going to probably do an EP at some point pull that together this winter. So, yeah, we're definitely still writing together. It's definitely, you know, it's month to month at the moment because we have businesses and families and so we're kind of taking it, you know, as things come.
For you, Tanya Donnelly, to come back on tour 20 years after the music that you released, to have so many different people come out to support the music, to be, you know, jam-packed the Vic this weekend, how does that make you feel that, you know, there's this much loyalty in your fans that have come back after decades off?
It's really touching. I mean, and it's something that we really didn't expect. You know, we knew that we had, because there's been, like, sort of little bubbles of, please get back together again here and there, but we really didn't expect it to be this. Honestly, didn't expect this level of enthusiasm, and the shows have just been love fest, and really just like a room full of joy. I feel like I'm just being so Pollyanna right now, but I'm telling the truth. It's been just wonderful throughout.
Well, Chicago will get to take place in that Love Fest on Saturday night at the Vic Theater. The band Belly and Tanya Donnelly come through town. Tanya Donnelly, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.